Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we'll look at together tonight. I'll read them together, and we'll pray, and then we'll jump into this evening's message. Philippians 4, and beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." Look back again at verse number 1, and the Bible says about halfway through that verse, it says, "So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Father, I pray that tonight you would help us to see what you said about standing fast. I pray, Lord, that it would be our heart's cry. It would be our heart's desire. It would be our life's passion to stand fast for you. And I pray that you do that work in our lives tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. As you read the beginning of this chapter, that phrase jumps out. If you've read it a number of times in a row like I have, you start to see that's the main theme at the beginning of this chapter is stand fast. Stand fast. First of all, I see this is our responsibility. The responsibility that God has given us as Christians is to stand fast. You know, some Christians are kind of like sparklers. Did you ever get those sparklers on the 4th of July? And you light them and give them to your kids and they wave them around and the sparks are flying everywhere. And somehow, even if the spark gets in their hair, it doesn't catch on fire. I don't know how those sparklers do that. But they're a lot of fun, the little sparklers. And, you know, it's dark outside and you light that sparkler and it's so bright. But it's only bright for, 15 seconds? And then it dies out. And then it's just good for the trash, right? It's not good for anything anymore. Well, you know, sometimes Christians are like that. You know, they get saved, and they're excited, and they're going to be saved forever. And man, they're excited, so they start coming to church, and they're there Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And they say, "Hey, Pastor, can we have a Monday night prayer meeting?" And, you know, they're all excited and fired up about stuff, and how can we help, and how can we serve, and how can we get involved? And then pretty soon, like the sparkler, they kind of fizzle out, and you know, maybe they're still coming Sunday morning, but they're not really coming faithfully, and they're not getting involved, and they're just kind of like a sparkler Christian. Well, then I have what I want to call the votive candle Christian. How many know what a votive candle is? Okay, they're those small, inexpensive ones, but they last a while. You know, you can light that thing, and it'll burn, you know, a couple hours, number of hours maybe. They're the kind you might put in your pumpkin. You know, how many of you carve pumpkins? Anybody? All right. Pumpkin carving. We went on a door-to-door soul winning the other day and came to a house and they had a couple carved pumpkins on the porch. And then they had a couple other pumpkins that were synthetic and they were plugged in and they had a little light inside them, you know. But a lot of times people will put a little votive candle in their pumpkin and light up the porch with it or something like that. Well, you know, some Christians, they're not like sparklers. They don't just flare up and then burn out. They're like a votive candle, man. They light and they'll burn and they'll be faithful for a year, 2 years, 3 years. But then sometimes they fall aside and they get led astray. And the Apostle Paul here is saying, don't be like that. He's writing to these Philippian Christians. He loved them because a lot of them he led to the Lord. He went to Philippi and preached and got that church established. And he loved that church. He loved the people of that church. And he said, I don't want you to burn out. He said, I want you to stand fast. Stand fast. And if you think about a sparkler Christian and a votive candle Christian, I guess this would be, I had to look this one up a little bit. I knew what I was thinking of, but I had to look it up. Bioluminance. Do you know, anybody know about bioluminance? These are some animals, especially a lot of the fish in the sea, that have their own light in and of themselves. And it doesn't burn out. One of them is called the angler fish. And then it's really ugly looking. And it's got this little thing sticking out and like a little thing dropping. It lights up right there in front. It's really cool looking. You'll have to look it up on the internet if you have internet. It's really cool. The angler fish. There's another one called the lantern fish. And there's one called the flashlight fish. The flashlight fish. And these are some of these deep sea fish. And they have their own light that just comes from the inside. Hey, you know what? When we're saved, we've got Jesus. He's the light of the world. And if we'll let Him take control, there's no reason that we have to burn out like a sparkler or burn out like a candle. We can let that light so shine before men, and it can keep shining. It can keep shining because it comes from the inside. Bioluminescence, if you want to call it that. It comes from the inside. And that's our responsibility, to stand fast, not to burn out for the Lord. How you finish is a huge key. Remember what Paul said? He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You see, Paul knew that if he didn't finish strong, he would lose out on one of those five crowns that the Bible talks about. That one was the crown of righteousness. He would miss out on that one if he didn't finish strong. Now, if you're saved, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior the way the Bible says to, then you know that, and you're on your way to heaven, and you can't lose that. But when we get there, there's going to be rewards for Christians who stand fast. And I don't want to lose those rewards. And one of those rewards is that crown of righteousness that's given to those that continue on, that finish the fight, that finish strong. How sad it is when an older person goes astray from the Lord. They've lived for the Lord all those years and now they're going astray. What in the world? Okay? No, the Lord wants us to finish strong for Him. So stand fast in the Lord. You say, well, I'm not an older person, Pastor. I'm a young person. Okay? Guess what? You've got an opportunity to invest your whole life for the Lord. And not to get sidetracked by sin. And not to have regrets that some of the older folks at church have. And they say, oh man, I'm living for God now, but man, I sure messed that up. You know what? As a young person, you could say, I'm going to live for God all the way through. I don't want to do this to brag in any way, but you know, the Lord just protected my life. And to this day, and hopefully for the rest of my life, with the Lord's help, I can't do it on my own, but with the Lord's help, I could say that there's been no alcoholic beverages go through these lips. I don't know what beer tastes like. And you don't have to either, young person. You don't have to try it. It's not worth it. I mean, all you got to do, you know, the TV makes it look really cool. You know, you get all these girlfriends hanging all over you if you drink this beer. Yeah, right. Okay. They don't show you the next morning when they're recovering from being drunk or whatever and puking up their guts in the bathroom. They don't show you that. Okay. They don't show you that. Now there's less commercials on TV for smoking, but a lot of people, you know, think it's really cool, you know, have this smoking thing, you know. But, you know, to the Lord's glory, I can tell you that these lips have never held a cigarette. And you don't have to either. You don't have to either. The Lord can preserve you from that. He really can. And He can give you that. You know, sometimes I call them cancer sticks. Sometimes you'll see somebody and they're driving their vehicle and you look over and you think, man, that's a fine looking couple. You know, husband and wife or whatever, maybe boyfriend or who knows. But, you know, they look really sharp. And then all of a sudden you see him go, and you think, oh, that kind of ruins it, you know. And you think, what are they doing, you know? And just, listen, the Lord can preserve you from all that. He really can. And you can stand fast in the Lord for your whole life. So our responsibility as believers is to stand fast. Let's look at the reasons why. You tell me out loud, what's the first word in chapter 4? You tell me out loud now. The very first word in chapter 4 is therefore. And I heard a preacher tell me one time, he said, whenever you read the word therefore, you should look and see what it's there for. Okay? Therefore means because of what came before it. Does anybody remember what we talked about at the end of chapter 3? The second coming of Christ. Remember that? Look down in verse 20. He says, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for Him to come again, and He will come and change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. So when He comes again, He's going to give us a new body. And because He's coming again, we've got to stand fast. We've got to stand fast. You know, I imagine that probably all Christians, all of us have ups and downs. We're still in the flesh. We don't live in the Spirit every day like we ought to. And so we have some down times. But you know, I want my down times to be fewer and fewer and shorter and shorter. Because the Lord Jesus Christ could come at any time. And when He comes, I want to be found, as the Bible says, I want to be found watching. I want to be ready. I want to be living for Him. Wouldn't it be terrible if the Lord came right when we were involved in some sinful thing? And all of a sudden, boom, that's the time He decides to come. We're like, ah. 1 John 2:28 says that some believers like us will be ashamed before Him at His coming. But then it also says in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we can be approved. I think of those two ways. Am I going to be approved or ashamed? I want to be approved. I want to be approved. And so one of the reasons to stand fast is the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back for His believers. He's coming back again. It's not some fantastical thing. It's biblical. He promised. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto Myself. And it really is true. And one of the reasons we should stand fast for the Lord is that Jesus is coming again. Look at chapter 4, because I see another reason. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, this is the Word of God. This is the Holy Spirit writing these words, but He used a human penman to pen those words. Does anybody know who penned the book of Philippians? The Apostle Paul. Okay, the Apostle Paul, one of the best Christians, I believe, that ever lived. The Apostle Paul, and the Lord gave him the words to write for the book of Philippians. And so he's writing this kind of as a letter to the church at Philippi. And he says, my dearly beloved and longed for. You see, he loved them. He longed to be with them again. Philippians was written from a prison cell. Paul was imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And he wanted to see those Philippians again. He longed for them. He cared about them. And the main thing he was concerned about was that they would stand fast in the Lord. So the first reason to stand fast is the coming of Christ. The second one I see in this passage is the love of the apostle. The love of the apostle. And how would that compare for us? Because the apostle Paul, I mean, he doesn't know me. Maybe he does. He's in heaven. He's got perfect knowledge. So maybe he knows us. But you know, it's not the same. But, you know, there are people who have invested in your life just like the Apostle Paul invested in the Philippians. There are people who care about you. There are people whose heart will break if you fail to stand fast. You know, I hope that as our young people get a little bit older, that instead of doing right just because mom and dad are going to punish you, that you move up and you say, you know what? I'm not just going to do it because I'm going to get punished. I'm going to do it because I love them. You know, I hope that you'll move up a level. Instead of just doing the right thing so your mom and dad will give you privileges and let you go places and maybe pay you your allowance instead of withholding it. You know, I try to teach my kids about the IRS by doing allowance withholding. not really. But anyway, you know, instead of doing right just so they will reward you, I hope you'll move up a level and say, I'm going to do right because I love them. Sometimes kids mature and they say, you know, I'm not just doing it because I'm going to get punished. I'm not just doing it for reward. I'm going to do right because it's my duty. Well, that's good and that's noble. But I hope you'll move up to the highest level of motivation and say, I'm going to do what's right because I love my parents. They've invested their life in me. They care about me. It would break their heart if they found out I was doing that or going there or being with this crowd. It would break their heart. If I quit reading my Bible every day, or if I quit praying every day, or if I when I graduated, I quit going to a Bible preaching church, I think that would break my parents' heart, and I love them too much. You know, one of the reasons to stand fast is for the people who have invested in your life. Hey, some of us as adults, we can think back and we can think to different pastors we've had in our lives that cared about us. Think about the person that led you to Christ, showed you how to be saved. Think about the Sunday school teachers that have invested in your life, the people that care about you. Think about your husband and your wife and what a heartbreak it would be if they stayed faithful to the Lord but you went astray. And because of people who've invested in your life, that could be a motivation to stand fast in the Lord. And so Paul puts that motivation on him. He says, "Dearly beloved, I care about you guys. I've invested my life in you guys. Please don't go astray." And their minds flash back to when Paul came to their city and he preached the gospel. And it was the first time they heard that salvation was in Jesus Christ and that he rose again. And it wasn't by our good works or going to church or getting baptized or any of these good things that we could go to heaven. But it was through Christ alone. And they remembered hearing Paul explain that to them. And they decided to receive Christ as their Savior. And Paul kind of was like a spiritual father to them because they were born into the family of God. And they loved Paul. And when they read this letter, they probably said, "Yeah, we got to stand fast because of the love of the apostle." The third reason is also in verse 1. He says, "My joy and crown." The third reason to stand fast is the rewards of the believer. The rewards of the believer. You know, we want to stand fast for Christ because someday our lives are going to be evaluated. Not for going to heaven or hell. That just depends on being saved. But after we're saved, we're going to heaven, our life will be evaluated as to our rewards, our level of reward in heaven. And there's all kinds of teaching in the Scripture about that. Somebody gets pious and says, "Well, I don't really care about the rewards." Hey, when you get to heaven, you'll care. You'll care. But even if you don't care about the rewards, whose reward was Paul talking about here? Not the Philippians' reward. Read verse 1 again. Whose crown? Yeah, the Apostle Paul's crown. He says, "My joy and crown." He said, "You guys are my crown. You're my reward in heaven. You've got to stand fast in the Lord or else I will lose some of my rewards in heaven." You see, somebody says, "Well, it's my life and I can do with it as I please." No, the truth is that your life influences so many other people. You are not an island to yourself. And the things that you do will influence other people. The people who've invested in your life will have rewards according to how you live. And you say, "Well, I don't care about rewards." Well, realize you're influencing everybody else as well. And you're influencing their heavenly rewards. And Paul said, "If you don't stand fast, I'm going to miss out on some reward. I want you to stand fast. I want you to keep following the Lord." So he gave them a number of good reasons. Finally, in this passage, I see the requirements for standing fast. Maybe you say, "Okay, it's my responsibility. I see the reasons. Jesus is coming again. It could be right now. I better be standing fast. The people who've invested in my life, the rewards in heaven, these are all good reasons. How do I stand fast?" Because you know what? The devil wants to sidetrack you. He wants to make it so you don't stand fast. He wants to make it so you don't follow Christ anymore. And so he's at work to try to put a wedge in there to get you messed up. And look at verse 2. It tells you the first way I believe the devil tries to mess us up. He says here, "I beseech Eutychus and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." Now, those are unusual names. We don't know anybody named Eutychus, probably, or Syntyche. When I looked up this verse, Bible scholars tell us, people who know the original language, that these are feminine names. Okay, these are ladies. Okay? And so apparently there's these two ladies in the church who are not of the same mind in the Lord. In other words, they're not getting along. Okay? Now, it's not just ladies. Sometimes it seems like, you know, these ladies are always, you know, but you know, it's men too. It's men too. The ladies are more outward about it sometimes. The men just kind of do the silent treatment, you know. I'm going to sit on the opposite side of the church. When we shake hands, I'm not going to cross the aisle. And when it's time to leave, I'm out of here, you know, because I don't want to come face to face with that guy. Hey, listen. The devil tries to drive a wedge between believers. And Paul says, if you want to stand fast, then you've got to be of the same mind in the Lord. You can't allow that problem to persist. You've got to find a way to solve it. You might say, well, no, it's no big deal. You know, I'm not getting along with that person, but it's not the end of the world. It's no big deal. You know, we're still both in church. They just sit over there and I sit over here. It's no big deal. Okay, here's the thing, though. It's like a wedge. And the devil will keep hammering on that wedge and drive it deeper and deeper and deeper. Who knows? Maybe that man that you're not getting along with, preacher will ask him to get up here and read the scriptures. And you'll be sitting back there seething. You know, I can't believe he asked him to read the scripture. Don't even know. And it gets worse. And it gets worse. And the devil does this to try to make it so you don't stand fast. And so you just say, ah, this church is crazy. Can't believe they even, you know, let that guy teach Sunday school or let that lady help in the nursery. She's probably teaching the kids wicked stuff. You know, don't they know that she and all this? And the Lord uses that little thing. I mean, the devil uses that little thing to grow it and to make it something so that we don't stand fast in the Lord, so that we have a reason to quit. Because pretty soon you start thinking, oh, yeah, they're hypocrites. You know what? They're hypocrites, too. Oh, the church is a bunch of hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? Somebody who says they're living for God, but they're not. But if you're not willing to get right with that person and go to them, truth is you're a hypocrite, too. Because you're saying, I love God. It's their problem. They're the one. I love God. Well, God said in Matthew 5 and Matthew 18 that you're supposed to go to them. Not just the person who did wrong, but even the person who was wronged is supposed to go to them and work it out. And you know, isn't it easier to work it out when it's still small? The longer it seethes, the longer you wait, the harder it is to work out. Now, I'm really glad that I'm preaching on this today because I don't know of anybody in here who's not getting along right now. I think we're doing great. But that's the best time to preach on it because I can go after it and I don't have to feel like I'm aiming at anybody, you know. But it is right here in the passage and we're working our way through Philippians. So we're going to preach it either way. But we've got to get along. We've got to get along. The devil wants to drive that wedge and make it deeper and deeper so that he can get you to quit. Now, if he can't get you to quit, the other thing he'll do is he'll try to get you to sit idly and not do anything for God. So look down at verse 3, and here he says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. That's a weird word, true yoke fellow. We'll talk about that in a minute. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Okay, here he talks about laborers, people who are working in the gospel, people who are serving God, people who are busy doing something for God. And he calls the people he's talking to, he calls them a true yoke fellow. Now, a yoke is like what they would put on the oxen, and they would combine two of the oxen together in a yoke so that they could get more work done than they could separately. The truth is that God wants us to serve Him together. He wants us as a church to be getting along in verse 2 so that we can serve God together in verse 3. So we can be more effective pulling together than we can trying to pull on our own. Sometimes the cart's pretty heavy and one ox is not going to be able to pull it. But if we'll yoke up with somebody, we can get a lot more done. When Jesus sent out his disciples to witness, how many did he send in a group? 2 by 2. There were 70 of them, so he had 35 groups. So he put them all on the soul-winning bus, and he dropped them off, each on a different street, and they covered 35 streets that day on soul-winning. No, I'm just kidding. But they sent them out witnessing by twos. And that's a good plan. Sometimes if we have all girls, we'll send them in threes just for safety. But a lot of times we try to have maybe a guy in the group to keep them safe. In our world today, things are pretty rough. But, you know, men usually go out in groups of two. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing because you can be a lot more effective when you're yoked up with somebody who loves the Lord and you're serving the Lord together. Now watch, if the devil can't get you to quit, what he wants you to do is just to sit idly and not be a yoke fellow, not be a laborer or a fellow laborer. It just keeps coming up again and again in verse 3. Be a laborer. Help this guy Clement. I don't know who Clement was. Maybe he was in charge of the soul winning ministry or the bus ministry or something like that. And they said, help Clement. He needs some help. He's out there by himself. Come on, he needs some help. And yoke up with somebody and serve God together and serve him. When you got saved, the devil lost your soul. You can never lose that salvation. You're going to be in heaven. You won't be in hell if you've received Jesus Christ the way the Bible says. The devil knows that. He can't get your soul back, but he can render your life ineffective. And he can get you just to be a pew warmer, or in our case, a cushion seat warmer, and not be involved in anything. Don't let that happen. He says, if you want to stand fast, then not only get along, but lastly, number two, get busy. Get busy. I put something else on the outline sheet, but I like get busy better. Get along and get busy. Isn't that easier to remember? If you want to stand fast in the Lord, you got to get along and then you got to get busy. It's harder to stop something that's moving for God. Okay? If the devil wants to get me to fall, or get me to quit, it's a lot easier to quit when I'm already doing nothing. But if I'm involved and I'm serving God, it's a lot harder to quit. It's a lot harder to give up. It's a lot harder to do, because we got people counting on me. Okay? Right now, because I'm the pastor of the church, that helps me to stand fast. Because if I quit, I'm thinking, what's going to happen to Bethel Baptist? It's not the Lord's will for me to quit, so that wouldn't be good. And if I get discouraged and just give up and quit, what's going to happen to this church? What's going to happen to all the people? What's going to happen to families? What's going to happen to these kids that we've grown to know and love? And, you know, are they going to live for God? Or, you know, what's going to happen? And because I'm preparing sermons and picking out songs and planning picnics and doing all this stuff, you know what? I'm doing something. I'm active. I'm involved. And it's a lot harder to be tempted to quit. Tell you the truth, quitting is not much of a temptation right now. Now, it could be. It could be. You pray for me. But right now, it's not much of a temptation. But if you're doing nothing, they won't miss me anyway if I don't show up. See, it's a lot easier to quit. So he says, be a true yoke fellow. Get yoked up, and then you'll be able to stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So what's it going to be? Are we going to be sparkler Christians who burn out? Are we going to be votive candles who go for a couple years and then eventually die out? Or are we going to allow the light of God's Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, who is the light, to be inside of us, working through us, and letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven, and stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved? Let's pray.